Good morning. We are in our third week of our series called Welcome to the Kingdom. We're talking about all of the ways in which Jesus calls us to include and invite others, to bring others in to the family of God because we are all kin. And so last week we looked at the book of Ruth. We looked at that story because she is a foreigner, right? She's from another land. And we looked how we are called to welcome those folks into the fold. This week, though, we go back into the Gospels, and we look at those who are already a part of the community. But those who we like to kind of push away because maybe they're a little weird or maybe they have some trouble going on in their lives, those folks who just make us uncomfortable. And so as we come into Mark chapter 5, I'm using scripture readings from the conference. So I didn't pick the scripture readings. I did write the sermon. I didn't steal the sermon. When I saw that this was the text for today, I immediately just kind of sunk back into my chair, and I was like, oh, great. I have to preach this text today for multiple reasons. So when you dive into Mark chapter 5, we encounter a demon-possessed man. And there is a sort of exorcism that happens in the text. And so the first reason that I don't like preaching these texts is I have a huge fear of demon possessions. When I was in high school, I watched The Exorcism of Emily Rose, and I still can't fall asleep if I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning because it just scared me so bad. And second, I just think this text is super weird. We have this man who is crazy, and he beats himself, it says, with rocks. And then we have this demon who names himself, and then we have these pigs who fling themselves off a cliff. It's just kind of a strange text, and it's hard to wrap our minds around. So this morning, we're just going to dive right in into the strangeness and weirdness and even maybe some of the fear that comes along with some of these types of scripture readings. The Gerasene demonic is a story that's found in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And today we're going to be looking at Mark's version. Mark's version was written first. If you know anything about how the Bible was written and put together, Mark was the first of the four gospels that was written. And so Mark just kind of tells it like it is. That's kind of his standard of writing. Luke kind of fluffs it up a little bit, and Matthew doesn't seem to like all of the details, so Matthew kind of throws some of them out. But we're going to be looking at Mark's version of this text today. So if you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and open those up to Mark chapter 5. If you're at home, we did provide a link so you can follow along if you don't have a Bible handy. So I invite you to stand as we read this very long gospel reading. I'm sorry, I pray for your knees as we read today. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains were wrenched apart, and the shackles he had broken into pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When Jesus saw him from a distance, he ran and he bowed before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. For he said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him earnestly, "Do not send them out of the country." Now there on the hillside was a great herd of swine, and they were feeding. And the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." And so Jesus gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out, and they entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and they were drowned in the sea. The swineherds ran off, and they told the city and in the country. Then the people came to see what had happened. They came to Jesus, and they saw the demonic sitting there, clothed, and in his right hand, the very man who had gone out to the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what happened to the demonic and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. When he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by the demons begged him that he might go with him. But Jesus refused and said, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and he began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Whew, was that weird? It's a strange text that we enter in. First, we start off at the very beginning with something that is strange, because depending upon the translation you read, you don't exactly know where we are. Some translators translate where they are is to the country of the Gerasenes. But there are other named places that some translators pick because they aren't quite sure. Now, as we come into this text, first, it's a little bit important to note some of the history around this particular part of the region. Now, when we come into Mark 5, Jesus has been doing all sorts of ministry, right? He's already been teaching. We get some parables before Mark 5. He's already been healing. He heals the paralytic, right? And he's also performed some miracles. Right before this, it says he calms the storm. And so he's just done that crazy thing, and it says he gets off the boat on the other side of the sea. And so the east side of the steep Sea of Galilee, which is still disputed territory, even 2,000 years after this text was written. For many years, this part of the region belonged to Syria, and then the Israelis took it over in the war of 1967, and so it's kind of been a bargaining chip throughout this political and social unrest that has happened in the Holy Land for 2,000 years. And the politics of Jesus' day were just as complicated as they are now. After the death of Herod the Great in 4 BC, the country was divided between his sons. Philip got the northeast side of the Sea of Galilee, but the bit to the southeast, where this story takes place, it's never really been Jewish territory. At the end, they call it the Decapolis, which means 10 towns. And even writers who talk about this part of the Bible, they don't even agree on which 10 towns it's talking about. And like I said, the translators of Mark can't even agree on where exactly it is. But that matters because the point is, this wasn't Jewish territory. This wasn't Jewish land. Because if it was, why would they be keeping pigs, right? If you know anything about the Hebrew Bible, pigs are unclean, right? So this is an unclean place. This is a place where they keep the swine. And so as we read on, we hear that there's this man that's in the tombs, right? And the graves, the tombs, these were also unclean places. So the man that we get is as unclean as you can possibly be. For about a century or so before Jesus came into this territory, the whole area had been overrun by the Romans. And so often people saw this land as Satan incarnate, is what I read in one commentary. No one liked this area. And so we enter in with this crazy guy and recognize that Jesus often goes into places that we don't want to go. Jesus encounters folks that we don't like to encounter. To Satan incarnate, to the unclean pig crazy guy. That's who Jesus encounters when he steps off the boat. As I was preparing for this morning, I was struck by this line in the text where the man who is possessed says, "Have you come to torment me?" And so one commentary I was reading, it called Jesus the tormentor. Have you ever heard Jesus called that before? The tormentor? I haven't either. That doesn't seem like a Jesus kind of word. But as I read on, I started to understand. When we come into this story, we're met with this demonic man who it says is chained in the tombs. It says, night and day among the tombs and on the mountain, he was howling and he was bruising himself with stones. They couldn't keep him chained. Not even the strongest men could hold him down, it says. And then he says to Jesus, "Do not torment me. Do not torment me, Jesus." And I wonder, why would he say that? This man has been tormented his whole life, probably with some sort of mental illness, right? He's howling and he's hitting himself with stones. He's bruising himself. He's causing self-harm. And so society's way of dealing with him is to chain him up. Not something we do anymore, right? So often, the most broken folks in our society, the guys and gals that we just don't want to deal with anymore, the easiest thing that we can do with them is just lock them up and chain them up. Or to medicate them so much that they're not even themselves. This is who Jesus comes to. This is who Jesus heals. And he says, "Don't torment me, Jesus." Which is funny because he's already so tormented. But Jesus torments him with something that he's never encountered before, because he has come from a society where violence is the answer, where casting him off is the answer, where putting him in the tombs is the answer. And I just want to remind you that the tombs, the graves, are not like our beautiful cemeteries that we have today. They were boneyards. They smelled bad. This is where they cast him off to. This is what he had been faced with his whole life. And so Jesus comes and Jesus torments him a little, but he torments him with love and grace and compassion. Jesus does something for him that no one that he has ever met before does. He cast out the demons. So often in our society, we face those folks who just seem too hard to handle. It's really, really easy to be in ministry with folks who are like us. It's really easy to welcome people in through the doors who smell good, who don't have some sort of mental problem, who have enough money that they can, you know, put some in the fish. It's easy to be in ministry with those who think like us, who act like us, who care about the same things we care about. But I can't imagine approaching someone who was howling loudly and hitting themselves hard with stones that they would bruise themselves. Those are the kind of people that it's just easy to turn our backs and walk away. But that's the first person Jesus encounters, the most unclean man you could be. He lived in the land of swine. He lived where Rome had taken over, where it's Satan incarnate in your face. And that's who Jesus comes up to. When I was a little girl, I've told you this before, but my dad was a terrible alcoholic. He was a mean drunk, never physically abusive, but emotionally tormented us in many, many ways. And so when I was a freshman in college, I was home for a break and I got a call, or home phone got a call that he was in the hospital. He had been vomiting large amounts of blood because he had drank so much that it was literally eating away at his esophagus. And in that moment, I remember thinking, I'm going to confess this morning, I remember thinking, man, he should just die. This is not someone I want to deal with or see ever again. And somehow he lived. Somehow he beat the odds. And my dad went on to live another 7 years, even though the stent they put in was only supposed to last a year. My dad was tormented for a long time with alcoholism. He was someone that I didn't want to deal with, someone I didn't want to talk to, someone that I just felt better would be easy to chain up or lock up or get rid of. But something happened where he was transformed and achieved sobriety. Now, in the midst of that, every day for 7 years, I remember I would wake up and I would say, is today the day he's going to start drinking again? Because we doubt, right? We doubt real transformation. We doubt the possibility that something, that someone who was so bad and so tainted and so unclean could possibly be restored. But Jesus Christ breaks through every barrier. Jesus Christ breaks through every broken piece of ourselves and our society to cause transformation. And that's something we're called to trust in. At the end of the story, we hear that Jesus takes the demons, right? Legion, because they are many. And he puts them in the swine, and he sends them into the sea. And they drowned. Now, there's a whole bunch of symbolism behind this and what people thought, that monsters came from the sea. And because this area represented Rome, they wanted to cast them off and literally drowned Satan incarnate in the sea. But at the end of the story, this man who's been transformed by Jesus, you have all these people, and they come and they're like, you just killed all of our pigs, right? They're kind of mad. Would you be mad if you were a farmer who had 2,000 pigs and somebody sent them off a cliff? probably. And so the man at the end of the story, it says, meaning Jesus, was getting in the boat, the man who had been possessed begged him that he might go with him. He wanted to get away from these people, this society that had chained him up and sent him out. He wanted to get away. But Jesus said, "Go home to your friends and tell them what God has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And so he went away and he started to proclaim how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. Friends, we are called to listen to those in our world who have been transformed, to hear their message. This was the first preacher to the Gentiles, right? He was changed and transformed, and he went back into his community, and he faced those folks who had hurt him, and they were amazed. Friends, if we open ourselves up to the possibility that God can do this amazing work, we can be changed too. Because it wasn't just the demon-possessed man who was healed. It was their whole society, right? This place who had for centuries been marked by this unclean name. They were changed too. So as the church, as we think about who we want to be a part of the kingdom, who we want to bring into the family, maybe it's identifying those folks around us who we've shut out before, who we've burned bridges with, who we've cut out. We're called to reach out to them too, to build up the family of God. Let's pray. God, we are called to be in relationship. To be in relationship even with those that we don't like. Even with those who make us uncomfortable. Even with those, God, who have broken our trust. God, we just seek your resurrection power. God, we ask that you would open our eyes so that we could see with amazement the wonders of your work. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.